My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, let's start with this Caps trade. The Caps trading Darcy Kuemper to the Kings for Pierre-Luc Dubois. I think that's how you say his last name.
I think it's Dubois. I think it's Pierre-Luc Dubois. But this is actually a pretty big trade. And the only reason I know that is I didn't, you know, we're not hockey guys, clearly. But, you know, Wyshynski and Ben Raby and all these guys, I read Wyshynski's story on this when it broke yesterday, late yesterday afternoon. And he called it a stunning trade. And the reason it's a stunning trade is that Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's a center playing for the LA Kings, was just dealt last year in June from Winnipeg to Los Angeles. It was a sign and trade deal in which Dubois got an 8-year, $68 million contract extension before getting shipped off to Los Angeles. Washington's going to have, you know, basically 7 years and like $59 million of that contract left. But he's big, he's strong, he's incredibly talented. And the other part of this is that, you know, the Caps, when they signed Darcy Kuemper, they thought he was their goaltender of the future. Remember, they gave him a big deal back in 2022, but Charlie Lindgren's just outplayed him. And I was reading the quotes from Brian McClellan. First of all, he said, "We're thrilled to announce the addition of Pierre-Luc to the Caps organization. This acquisition brings in a talented 25-year-old with immense potential to become a top-tier center in the NHL with his size, exceptional skating, and high hockey IQ. We're confident he will thrive in our organization with increased responsibility and opportunity." And then he said about Charlie Lindgren, "After witnessing Charlie Lindgren's performance last season, we believe he deserves a chance to play a more significant role within our team." I mean, remember, you know, the Caps traded Kuznetsov. Backstrom's pretty much done, so they have this big gaping hole at center, and Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to be the guy, and he's under contract for a long time. But I would just ask the question, why would the Kings make this big trade 1 year ago, give him this massive contract, and then trade him after 1 year? Apparently he was a massive disappointment last year. 16 goals, just 24 points in 82 games. So, you know, he was not very good in the regular season. In their loss, first round loss to Edmonton, he only had one goal and had a bunch of penalty minutes in five games in their loss to the Oilers, who are still alive in the Stanley Cup Finals, by the way. But that's giving up pretty quickly. Seems to me like there's something else there just, you know, spider senses. Like, really? You give him a $68 million 8-year deal after trading multiple players and picks a year ago, and you give up after one season? Seems like a bit of a red flag, but I'm not, you know, I'm not knowledgeable enough about this sport and these players to know for sure. But I am and have been trying to get somebody on. Actually, you know what? We're going to have Greg Wyshynski on. He's going to come on at 12:35. I was just looking at my phone to see if he had responded. He did. He'll be on at 12:35. Love to have Greg Wyshynski on. So we'll ask him if that's a red flag in this trade. But big trade for the Caps. They were big, one of the biggest trades, I guess, of the offseason so far. It's not the offseason technically yet. The Oilers trying to come back from 3-0 down. Game 6 tomorrow night. That crowd's, by the way, insane in Edmonton. All right, what else you got?
So you gave me a perfect segue when you say it's weird to give up after signing a guy to a big money contract after 1 year. I don't know if you're talking about Dubois or about Monty Williams, because he was fired yesterday in Detroit in the NBA.
Crazy.
5 years, $65 million contract. That's what's remaining. They signed him to a 6-year, about $78 million. He has $65 million left on his contract, and Detroit is saying, we're going to pay you to go away.
I mean, to me now, you know, he's got basically, he's going to get paid $65 million, as you said, for the next 5 years not to coach. Now, if he chooses to coach, correct me if I'm wrong, basically then the Pistons would be on the hook for the difference, but he's still going to end up getting that money. I think it's the Lakers that should be looking at Monty Williams. I've always liked Monty Williams as a coach. I love him as a person. I don't know him, but man, he's had some tragedy in his life, including losing his wife a couple of years ago. But there must be something going on here, right? Like Phoenix said, good riddance. Detroit, after a year, says, see you later. So something's not right here. And who knows? I mean, with what he's been through in his life in recent years, I you know, who knows? Maybe it's that his heart's not in it like it used to be. I don't know. But that is a quick bail for sure. I mean, for a team, by the way, that is awful and doesn't have the prospect of turning it around like next year or the year after, maybe they shouldn't have hired Monty Williams this early anyway. You know, maybe they should have done what the Wizards have been doing, which is paying a lot less for coaches while they're trying to build long-term by not being very good their roster for a better day down the road. But yeah, Monty Williams, I know he's always been one of the real well-liked guys in the league, that's for sure.
What else? I was stunned by this. I was stunned when they gave him that contract to begin with, because I think, I don't know if he's much of a team builder guy versus a getting you over the hump kind of a guy. That's just the way
right.
that I view him.
No, good. You know, he's also a local.
He is, yeah.
Went to Potomac High School in PG County, Oxon Hill. He lost his wife, like, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that, in a car crash. She was killed in a car crash. It was incredibly tragic. But anyway, all right, let's move on. What do you got next?
All right, so Nats get a big win yesterday, 3-1 over the Diamondbacks. Jesse Winker hit a go-ahead, 2-run homer in the sixth inning, and Patrick Corbin looked like old Patrick Corbin. 5 innings pitched, strikes out 7, allows just 1 run on 3 hits. If we had this Patrick Corbin every single start, we wouldn't be so itching to get rid of this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good outing for him. There's no doubt about it. That's the best way to put it. You know, he walked in the 1 run that gave Arizona a 1-0 lead in the fourth inning, I think it was. But for him, I mean, he's just had so many horrific games. Now, the last couple of games, so yesterday he pitched 5 innings, allowed just 3 hits, 1 earned run, struck out 7, which I think may be a season high. I think I looked at that, and it was a season high for strikeouts. Still, you know, 90 pitches in 5 innings. So it's not perfect, but it's better than it's been. Although his last outing was Just one earned run in five innings as well. But, you know, he's had the games, right? He gave up 6 earned runs in 5 innings against the Mets. He gave up 8 earned runs in a game against Minnesota. You know, 7 earned runs in a game against San Francisco. His ERA, though, has come down. You know, at one point early in the season, it was like in the 8s. It's now at a season low, I think, at 5.60 after yesterday. Look, starting pitching's been the story of the national season. It was expected. They've gotten incredible starting pitching, and starting pitching is, you know, that is that answer for being a contender or having a chance to contend. It's not the end all be all, but if you don't have great starting pitching, you really don't have a chance. And they've been working on this, and they've been building this, you know, and they've been drafting this, and Josiah Gray may be a week away from coming back. I think people thought maybe it's Corbin that he replaces, if not Hurs. Hurs last, you know, outing had 13 strikeouts, but this team has had outstanding pitching. Kyle Finnegan, another, you know, incredible ninth. I think he struck out 2 of the 3 he faced, you know, with a 3-1 lead. Be nice to get this one today to get to 500, because they've only been 500 this year at 20-20, I think it was back in early May. And they flirted with it, you know, a few times. But they haven't been above 500 yet at any point this year. So maybe that's coming. We shall see. They need this one, and then they get Colorado over the weekend.
So I can't imagine the answer to this question is yes, but I will ask you it anyway. Did you watch the Kendrick Lamar concert yesterday?
No, I didn't, but I thought you were going to ask me something different. I thought you were going to ask me, did you see any of the Mystics Indiana game last night? And I would have answered, yes, I did.
Well, we'll get to the Mystics Fever stuff, but this, you have to go watch at least portions of Kendrick Lamar's concert. It's on Amazon Prime, and there's also like bootleg versions of it on YouTube. It was a concert. At points, it felt like a funeral, not for him.
So what how much of it was about Drake?
Kendrick started his set with one of the many diss tracks aimed at Drake, and then they ended the set with Not Like
Us. You call
us.
That a diss track?
Euphoria is definitely a diss track, yes.
Yeah, but is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's
is called that the slang?
Track.
That's a diss track?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, so sorry. I should have prefaced with that. Yeah. We started with Euphoria, and then they played Not Like Us to end the show. Not Like Us right now is the number one song in the country, and it's going to continue to be that way. And he also played it 5 times in a row.
What?
With guys dancing on stage at the end. You know who made it on stage, who was dancing to Not Like Us? Which, if you haven't heard the song,
heard the song.
Main crux is calling Drake.
Who was dancing on stage with him?
DeMar DeRozan was up there.
Really?
Yeah. Which is great. DeMar's from
Compton. You know, DeMar
Compton.
DeRozan has a book out right now. Trying to get him on the show because I'm a fan of DeMar DeRozan. Huge fan of DeMar DeRozan and his story. Who else was... What else from this how do you play... it's a number one song in America. 5 times in a row?
5 times in a row. Five times in a row. Because the first...
Where was the concert?
It was in at the Kia Forum in Inglewood.
Yeah.
So it was right. It was a lot of this was by design. There was a lot of Los Angeles rappers in the building. There was like a statement of unity at the very end where there was a member from every single section of a gang in that area coming together, which has never been done before. So it really was unifying Los Angeles. But they were dunking.
Well, it was
on Drake
part of Juneteenth, I would imagine, too, right?
It was. Yeah, that was by design. And Drake was just getting dunked on in the process. But like Russell Westbrook was there. James Harden was there. Russ was dancing on stage.
When I turned on TV this morning, I saw Russell Westbrook on stage, and I didn't know what it was from, and the sound was down. But now you've confirmed why Russell Westbrook looked so happy on stage dancing.
It was the most excited I've seen Russell Westbrook in years.
Well, he gets pretty excited. He's pretty, you know, he's got a lot of energy.
He gets emotional when he plays basketball. He looked happy on stage dancing. LeBron was there, too. He didn't come on stage, though.
Got it.
Now we can talk about the Mystics. They fall to the
Well,
Fever.
I mean, I was just going to say that I flipped it on briefly. I was, you know, among many different things last night. And Caitlin Clark in another sold-out house in Indiana. This game was against the Mystics in Indianapolis. 17,000-plus, another sellout for her games. And she had a career-high 12 rebounds. She had 18 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals in the game. You know, one of the underrated parts of her game, and this goes for, you know, NBA players sometimes too. Like, I don't consider Caitlin Clark to be a great defender, and I'm not expert enough in her game and the WNBA game, but I think that she's not super athletic. I don't think she moves her feet great on defense. At this point, physically, she's not as strong. But what she is, because her IQ is so high, her basketball feel, you know, kind of an understanding of being kind of a step ahead of everybody else, she is so good off the ball and getting into passing lanes and getting steals. She had 4 steals last night. She's had multiple games of 4 steals this year. And a lot of times you'll see guys, NBA guys or lower-level guys, that are not great defenders on the ball, but because they have this incredible feel and basketball anticipation, and they're kind of a half step ahead in terms of what's going to happen off the ball, they end up being much better as a defender when it comes to steals. Like, they're able to see, all right, this ball's swinging, it's going to move here to the guy, the person I'm guarding, and I'm going to jump this. And she's great at that. And a lot of players are. One of the greatest all time at that was Juan Dixon, who was a phenomenal college defender. By the way, did it, you know, for his few years with the Wizards too. Now, they attacked him because he was smaller and he was, you know, he had a small frame, and overall as an on-ball defender, not great, but man, off the ball, he just would see it, he'd sniff it out. And as that ball swung to the guy he was guarding, he was in that passing lane, and it was a layup on the other end. And she does that a bunch. Now, sometimes you gamble and you miss, and your player goes back door, and it's a layup against you. But you'll still end up with, you know, 4 or 5 guesses during the course of a game that turn out well for your team. But she, another sellout house. By the way, they have played. You know, everybody said the Indiana Fever is like one of the worst teams in the league. Actually, I think the Mystics are the worst team in the league. But I think they've won like 4 in a row or something like that, they were saying last night on the broadcast. Or maybe it's 3 in a row. And they're now far from the worst record in the league. She's lifted them. There's no doubt. For those of you that think, oh, you know, she's just not that good at this level, she is a lock to be the Rookie of the Year in the WNBA. And now that completes our WNBA conversation. Do you have anything else?
That's all I got for you.
All right. Coming up at 12, we'll talk NBA draft, which is less than a week away, and the Wizards hold the number 2 overall pick. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, let's start with this Caps trade. The Caps trading Darcy Kuemper to the Kings for Pierre-Luc Dubois. I think that's how you say his last name.
I think it's Dubois.
Dubois.
I think it's Pierre-Luc Dubois. But this is actually a pretty big trade. And the only reason I know that is I didn't, you know, we're not hockey guys, clearly. But, you know, Wyshynski and Ben Raby and all these guys, I read Wyshynski's story on this when it broke yesterday, late yesterday afternoon, and he called it a stunning trade. And the reason it's a stunning trade is that Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's a center playing for the LA Kings, was just dealt last year in June from Winnipeg to Los Angeles. It was a sign and trade deal in which Dubois got an 8-year, $68 million contract extension before getting shipped off to Los Angeles. Washington's going to have, you know, basically 7 years and like $59 million of that contract left. But he's big, he's strong, he's incredibly talented. And the other part of this is that, you know, the Caps, when they signed Darcy Kuemper, they thought he was their goaltender of the future. Remember, they gave him a big deal back in 2022, but Charlie Lindgren's just outplayed him. And I was reading the quotes from Brian McClellan. First of all, he said, "We're thrilled to announce the addition of Pierre-Luc to the Caps organization. This acquisition brings in a talented 25-year-old with immense potential to become a top-tier center in the NHL with his size, exceptional skating, and high hockey IQ. We're confident he will thrive in our organization with increased responsibility and opportunity." And then he said about Charlie Lindgren, "After witnessing Charlie Lindgren's performance last season, we believe he deserves a chance to play a more significant role within our team." I mean, remember, you know, the Caps traded Kuznetsov. Backstrom's pretty much done, so they have this big gaping hole at center, and Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to be the guy, and he's under contract for a long time. But I would just ask the question, why would the Kings make this big trade 1 year ago, give him this massive contract, and then trade him after 1 year? Apparently he was a massive disappointment last year. 16 goals, just 24 points in 82 games. So, you know, he was not very good in the regular season. In their loss, first round loss to Edmonton, he only had one goal and had a bunch of penalty minutes in five games in their loss to the Oilers, who are still alive in the Stanley Cup Finals, by the way. But that's giving up pretty quickly. Seems to me like there's something else there, just, you know, spider senses. Like, really, you give him a $68 million 8-year deal after trading multiple players and picks a year ago, and you give up after one season? Seems like a bit of a red flag, but I'm not knowledgeable enough about this sport and these players to know for sure. But I am and have been trying to get somebody on. Actually, you know what? We're going to have Greg Wyshynski on. He's going to come on at 12:35. I was just looking at my phone to see if he had responded. He did. He'll be on at 12:35. Love to have Greg Wyshynski on. So we'll ask him if that's a red flag in this trade. But big trade for the Caps. They were one of the biggest trades, I guess, of the offseason so far. It's not the offseason technically yet. The Oilers trying to come back from 3-0 down. Game 6 tomorrow night. That crowd's, by the way, insane in Edmonton. All right, what else you got?
So you gave me a perfect segue when you say it's weird to give up after signing a guy to a big money contract after 1 year. I don't know if you're talking about Dubois or about Monty Williams, because he was fired yesterday in Detroit in the NBA.
Crazy.
5 years, $65 million contract. That's what's remaining. They signed him to a 6-year, about $78 million. He has $65 million left on his contract, and Detroit is saying, we're going to pay you to go away.
I mean, to me now, you know, he's got basically, he's going to get paid $65 million, as you said, for the next 5 years not to coach. Now, if he chooses to coach, correct me if I'm wrong, basically then the Pistons would be on the hook for the difference, but he's still going to end up getting that money. I think it's the Lakers that should be looking at Monty Williams. I've always liked Monty Williams as a coach. I love him as a person. I don't know him, but man, he's had some tragedy in his life, including losing his wife a couple of years ago. There must be something going on here, right? Like Phoenix said, good riddance. Detroit, after a year, says, see you later. So something's not right here. And who knows? I mean, with what he's been through in his life in recent years, I, you know, who knows? Maybe it's that his heart's not in it like it used to be. I don't know. But that is a quick bail for sure. I mean, for a team, by the way, that is awful and doesn't have the prospect of turning it around like next year or the year after, maybe they shouldn't have hired Monty Williams this early anyway. You know, maybe they should have done what the Wizards have been doing, which is paying a lot less for coaches while they're trying to build long-term by not being very good their roster for a better day down the road. But yeah, Monty Williams, I know he's always been one of the real well-liked guys in the league. That's for sure.
What else? I was stunned by this. I was stunned when they gave him that contract to begin with, because I think, I don't know if he's much of a team builder guy versus a getting you over the hump kind of a guy. That's just the way
right.
that I view him.
No, good. You know, he's also a local.
He is.
Went to Potomac High School in PG County, Oxon Hill. He lost his wife, like, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that, in a car crash. She was killed in a car crash. It was incredibly tragic. But anyway, all right, let's move on. What do you got next?
All right, so Nats get a big win yesterday, 3-1 over the Diamondbacks. Jesse Winker hit a go-ahead, two-run homer in the sixth inning, and Patrick Corbin looked like old Patrick Corbin. 5 innings pitched, strikes out 7, allows just 1 run on 3 hits. If we had this Patrick Corbin every single start, we wouldn't be so itching to get rid of this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good outing for him. There's no doubt about it. That's the best way to put it. You know, he walked in the 1 run that gave Arizona a 1-0 lead in the fourth inning, I think it was. But for him, I mean, he's just had so many horrific games. Now, the last couple of games, so yesterday he pitched 5 innings, allowed just 3 hits, 1 earned run, struck out 7, which I think may be a season high. I think I looked at that, and it was a season high for strikeouts. Still, you know, 90 pitches in 5 innings. So it's not perfect, but it's better than it's been, although his last outing was just 1 earned run in five innings as well. But, you know, he's had the games, right? He gave up 6 earned runs in 5 innings against the Mets. He gave up 8 earned runs in a game against Minnesota. You know, 7 earned runs in a game against San Francisco. His ERA, though, has come down. You know, at one point early in the season, it was like in the 8s. It's now at a season low, I think, at 5.60 after yesterday. Look, starting pitching's been the story of the national season. It was expected. They've got an incredible starting pitching, and starting pitching is, you know, that is that answer for being a contender or having a chance to contend. It's not the end all be all, but if you don't have great starting pitching, you really don't have a chance, and they've been working on this, and they've been building this, you know, and they've been drafting this, and Josiah Gray may be a week away from coming back. I think people thought maybe it's Corbin that he replaces, if not Hurz. Hurz last, you know, outing had 13 strikeouts, but this team has had outstanding pitching. Kyle Finnegan, another, you know, incredible ninth. I think he struck out two of the three he faced, you know, with a 3-1 lead. Be nice to get this one today to get to 500, because they've only been 500 this year at 20-20. I think it was back in early May, and they flirted with it, you know, a few times. But they haven't been above 500 yet at any point this year. So maybe that's coming. We shall see. They need this one, and then they get Colorado over the weekend.
So I can't imagine the answer to this question is yes, but I will ask you it anyway. Did you watch the Kendrick Lamar concert yesterday?
No, I didn't, but I thought you were going to ask me something different. I thought you were going to ask me, did you see any of the Mystics Indiana game last night? And I would have answered, yes, I did.
Well, we'll get to the Mystics Fever stuff, but this you have to go watch at least portions of Kendrick Lamar's concert. It's on Amazon Prime, and there's also like bootleg versions of it on YouTube. It was a concert. At points, it felt like a funeral, not for him.
So what how much of it was about Drake?
Kendrick started his set with one of the many diss tracks aimed at Drake, and then they ended the set with Not Like
Us. You call that a diss track?
Euphoria is definitely a diss track, yeah.
Yeah, but is that what it's called?
Yeah,
it's called a diss track. Is that the slang? That's a diss track?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, so sorry, I should have prefaced with that. Yeah. We started with Euphoria, and then they played Not Like Us to end the show. Not Like Us right now is the number one song in the country, and it's going to continue to be that way. And he also played it 5 times in a row.
What?
With guys dancing on stage at the end. You know who made it on stage, who was dancing to Not Like Us? Which, if you haven't heard the song,
I've heard the song.
Main crux is calling Drake.
Who was dancing on stage with him?
DeMar DeRozan was up there.
Really?
Yeah. Which is great. DeMar's from
Compton. You know, DeMar
Compton.
DeRozan has a book out right now. Trying to get him on the show because I'm a fan of DeMar DeRozan, huge fan of DeMar DeRozan and his story. Who else was? What else from this? How do you play? It's a number one song in America. 5 times in a row.
5 times in a row. Five times in a row because the
first. Where was the concert?
It was in at the Kia Forum in Inglewood.
Yeah.
So it was right. It was a lot of this was by design. There was a lot of Los Angeles rappers in the building. There was like a statement of unity at the very end where there was a member from every single section of a gang in that area coming together, which has never been done before. So it really was unifying Los Angeles. But they were dunking
on Drake.
Well,
it was part of Juneteenth, I would imagine, too, right?
It was. Yeah, that was by design. And Drake was just getting dunked on in the process. But like Russell Westbrook was there. James Harden was there. Russ was dancing on stage.
When I turned on TV this morning, I saw Russell Westbrook on stage, and I didn't know what it was from, and the sound was down. But now you've confirmed why Russell Westbrook looked so happy on stage dancing.
It was the most excited I've seen Russell Westbrook in years.
Well, he gets pretty. He's pretty. You know, he's got a lot of energy.
He gets emotional when he plays basketball. He looked happy on stage dancing. LeBron was there too. He didn't come on stage though.
Got it.
Now we can talk about the Mystics. They fall to the
Fever.
Well,
I mean, I was just going to say that I flipped it on briefly. I was, you know, among many different things last night. And Caitlin Clark, in another sold-out house in Indiana. This game was against the Mystics in Indianapolis. 17,000-plus, another sellout for her games. And she had a career-high 12 rebounds. She had 18 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals in the game. You know, one of the underrated parts of her game, and this goes for, you know, NBA players sometimes too. Like, I don't consider Caitlin Clark to be a great defender. And I'm I'm not expert enough in her game and the WNBA game, but I think that she's not super athletic. I don't think she moves her feet great on defense. At this point, physically, she's not as strong. But what she is, because her IQ is so high, her basketball feel, you know, kind of an understanding of being kind of a step ahead of everybody else, she is so good off the ball and getting into passing lanes and getting steals. She had four steals last night. She's had multiple games of four steals this year. And a lot of times you'll see guys, NBA guys or lower level guys that are not great defenders on the ball, but because they have this incredible feel and basketball anticipation, and they're kind of a half step ahead in terms of what's going to happen off the ball, they end up being much better as a defender when it comes to steals. Like, they're able to see, all right, this ball's swinging, it's going to move here to the guy, the person I'm guarding, and I'm going to jump this. And she's great at that. And a lot of players are. One of the greatest all-time at that was Juan Dixon, who was a phenomenal college defender. By the way, did it, you know, for his few years with the Wizards, too. Now, they attacked him because he was smaller, and he was, you know, he had a small frame. And overall, as an on-ball defender, not great. But, man, off the ball, he just would see it. He'd sniff it out. And as that ball swung to the guy he was guarding, he was in that passing lane, and it was a layup on the other end. And she does that a bunch. Now, sometimes you gamble and you miss, and your player goes back door, and it's a layup against you. But you'll still end up with, you know, four or five guesses during the course of a game that turn out well for your team. But she, another sellout house. By the way, they have played. You know, everybody said the Indiana Fever is like one of the worst teams in the league. Actually, I think the Mystics are the worst team in the league. But I think they've won like four in a row or something like that, they were saying last night on the broadcast. Or maybe it's three in a row. And they're now far from the worst record in the league. She's lifted them. There's no doubt. For those of you that think, oh, you know, she's just not that good at this level, she is a lock to be the rookie of the year in the WNBA. And now that completes our WNBA conversation. Do you have anything else?
That's all I got for you.
All right. Coming up at 12, we'll talk NBA draft, which is less than a week away, and the Wizards hold the number 2 overall pick. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.